Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for starting your weekend with us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Theo.
That would be a little weird.
Our boy Theo DeRosa would love it, though.
He would.
He would.
I bet he's a Strange Brew guy.
Oh, absolutely. Theo is not far from Tennessee.
Oh, really?
4.5 miles from
north,
the border.
North Mississippi.
All Corn County.
About
12 miles west of Corinth.
There we go. We're headed towards to Nashville.
There you go. Yeah, you're not too far from Theo if you head to Nashville from here. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's only a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. So fire it up, man. Gas grill, charcoal, pellet grill, whatever in the backyard, put some steaks on it, put some tri-tip, put some briskets, just put some burgers on them. Doesn't matter, because beef is always going to be the star of the cookout. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. As we all know, we're coming up on graduation. And so if you're looking for a great gift for your grad, you can get it at College Corner and collegecornerstore.com. Hats, polos, accessories, tailgate essentials, whatever it is, maroon and white, they've got it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, Floyd by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. Robbie loves a trip to Restaurant Tyler. Brian loves a trip to Restaurant Tyler. You'll love a trip to Restaurant Tyler. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend, be a great place to grab lunch, great place to grab dinner after the game Saturday, or before you head to Duty Noble on Sunday, you can grab that Mother's Day brunch at Restaurant Tyler. Three opportunities to have a great meal. Do it at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but they're going to show you how they're going to help you prepare for your future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need them on your schedule. You don't need to be waiting around for other people. You need a bank that provides a level of service that you're only going to get. Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. I'm very tired today. Very tired.
Yeah. You don't have a three-week-old child, so...
No, I'm not trying to get sympathy points off you. I'm just letting you know. I'm tired.
I'm sorry. I mean, we've both been tired.
Yeah.
Of Mississippi State sports
For
quite some time.
Hey, I've actually got a little juice for Mississippi
State
sports.
That's right what's now. Crazy is like baseball seems to be moving in the right direction. You got some good news from Zach Selman. It's just the weight of it all is just kind of bearing down on us. All the work that we put in over the years trying to make this place a better place, it does seem to be coming to fruition.
It is something.
But still.
All right. We got baseball a little later in the show. Great conversation with Chase Parham from RebelGrove.com. Nobody covers Ole Miss baseball better than that guy. Got his thoughts on this upcoming series from the Rebel perspective and some mixed match stuff there as well. We'll talk a little bit more about this series. But we got to start with yesterday's big news from Zach Selman. That we talked about a little bit on the podcast because we got the text from the boss man as we were recording. Some of us read the whole text where it said, don't put that information out. Some of us didn't.
Sorry. I did apologize for it. I
Like,
apologize.
I texted three people and I was like, "Hey, don't put this out." And I sent it to all of them.
After the fact,
No,
though.
no,
After I'd screwed up, you were like, "Oh,
I was
shoot."
like, "Let me make sure." Yeah.
Look, I've screwed up a lot in my lifetime.
have.
So I'm not here to
Nothing
tell you that
new.
I don't
Nothing new.
screw up.
Yeah.
And God knows that this administration's probably tired of me, but I do appreciate them giving us a heads up nonetheless.
Yeah. And so the news was Mississippi State, the Billy, is it W? Middle W?
I believe that's correct. Billy W. Howard.
Billy W. Howard Sr. indoor practice facility. The Howard family, Howard Industries, has made a record gift. I tried to get even off the record. They would not tell me the amount.
Which is smart.
Yeah, they were like, the family's very sensitive to that. Like, I'm not,
But
it's my job to ask,
if you
guys.
get your name on the building, you've given a lot of
You're giving a
money.
lot of money. Construction scheduled to start in 2027. The IPF portion done by 2028. All of the renovations to the SEAL building done by 2029. And I know what you're thinking, like, well, that's a long way off. Is it?
No.
It's not. It's not. I'll just go ahead and tell you that Jeff Lebby is already recruiting 2028 and 2029 players. You know, and so it's, yeah, so
And
it's
also,
not that far away.
I think people would just believe that you make this announcement and then you start
Yeah.
building it immediately. That's not how this works.
No.
The announcement itself is a big flashy neon sign that says, "Give us money."
Yes, exactly. Right, it is.
So this is a fundraising effort. We are going to do this. We need your help. Here we go. And we have a good portion of it paid for by this family that's been so generous. Now it's your turn to get involved. And I made this point yesterday, to people that were saying that why is this taking so long or whatever. The new Duty Noble Field was announced in 2014,
Yes.
and at least the renderings of it was
Right.
announced in 2014. It was finished in 2019.
Yes.
Now that's a significantly bigger project, when you think about it, and you got to play games in it, things like that. But this is a pretty big project as well, and this is how long these projects usually take. You send out the renderings, which they did in the master plan in January. You get the a lot of the funds together. You announce that you're going to do this and all the other things that the process that you're going to go through, and then you ask for the money while you do that. So this is, I think, the way to go. And it's not going to be take that long, and it's something that you can sell right now with Jeff Lebby. You can sell this to recruits.
So, like I said, you're recruiting 2028 guys. You're gonna be able to tell them, hey, when you get here, we're gonna have this elite indoor practice
Before it
facility.
even gets here, you have a chance to use that as a recruiting tool.
Exactly. So let's have the debate that's going on online and on shows similar to this, and that's that in this day and age, you know, do you really still need to spend this kind of money on facilities? Is Mississippi State better benefited by this money going to the State Excellence Fund or to the Bulldog Initiative? My personal thought is this is one of those two things can be true, because state would absolutely benefit from a huge gift to the State Excellence Fund, to the Bulldog Initiative. There's no question
And they already
about that.
have.
And they have. They, you know, we I believe in the last 6 months they've put $10 to $15 million, if I'm correct, has been, you know, announced. That's just what's been announced. Mississippi State is the only school in the SEC that doesn't have an IPF. And when you live in the richest neighborhood in town, you can't be the only house without a pool. All right? You just can't. Everybody's gonna be like, why doesn't that house have a pool? What's wrong with them? Mississippi State is a school that, you know, benefits from the SEC the same way that Vanderbilt and South Carolina and Kentucky and Missouri, the schools that you would say are on equal footing, whatever, Mississippi State, Ole Miss. They all have IPFs. Some of them have had IPFs long enough that they have renovated their IPFs and upgraded them. So this was a must thing. It absolutely had to happen. It's kind of unfortunate that it happens in a time where money needs to go to other places, maybe a little bit more. But I guess the real truth of this matter is, Robbie, if somebody says they're going to give you millions of dollars, but they want it used for this, you don't really say no. You just be like, oh, that's what we're using it for then.
And for like those giant monetary gifts, most of them, they're going to want to have some kind of
They want their name.
incentive that is that
Yeah.
he gets his name on the building. And for Mr. Howard, who played football here in a great era of football for Mississippi State, played for Allen McKean, was a big part of those teams back then in the 1940s. The football program, it means something special to him. He wanted to give back to the program and something that was going to be a long-term gift. And that's what this is. You don't like, it's very difficult for these people that are giving these large sums of money to feel like they're getting a nice return on investment when they're giving it to NIL.
Right.
And it's just kind of like, I don't want to say it's like burning money up, but you're just kind of throwing money in the pot and
Yeah.
then
You
it's.
know it's getting spent, and if you see a great player come in, you're like, okay, I had a piece of that, but there's no legacy to it. And at the end of the day, a lot of people that's important to them, you know. They want to have that legacy. This will always be the Billy Howard indoor practice facility.
And I get what people are saying that you shouldn't upgrade facilities, and I've kind of been on that train too a little bit.
I think Zach Selman was on that train.
He was, and I've kind of changed my tune on that because there are some pressing needs for Mississippi State that need to be addressed for this program to sell itself a little more than just giving money to recruits. And I think that you can do both of those things. And you know, candidly, I've had conversations with Zach about that back and forth, and I think he was very open-minded in those conversations. And a lot of it was kind of like questions like, well, I mean, if we're going to spend money, shouldn't we be doing it on acquiring better talent? And my answer to that is absolutely yes. But also, there are needs for Mississippi State. The stadium is starting to get weathered. They're behind the times on the entertainment portion of that, and that means suites, and that means south end zone, LED lights, as we've talked about, sound system. That stuff doesn't seem to matter to some people, and I understand that. And I'm not saying it doesn't matter to Zach Selman because he's obviously addressing it. But there's people in the fan base that say that doesn't matter. And in reality, it does when you're trying to sell a product
Right.
to people that can easily go sit on their couch and watch the games.
And also, I talked about this yesterday on Sports Talk, and tell me if you agree or disagree, but if you're trying to get money from fans, it behooves you to make sure their experience at your stadium is top-notch.
Yes.
Like, because it's real easy to disconnect from the point of, like, I can just watch the games on TV. That can easily turn into, well, I'm not giving any money because I'm not going to the games, and what do I care?
Correct.
Right? If you got a stadium experience that fans want to come back to, and then you pair that with a good team, that's how you get people continuing to give. Even to the point where they're like, I got to make decisions about how much I want to give because I want to keep giving. I want to keep my seats. So you can't just have a dump state. I know there was a thing on your message board talking about, you know, stadium expansion, stadium enhancements. The players spend 7 days a year there. It's not, that's not really true. They spend more than that because they do
Well, I think that
practice.
was my point.
Yeah, but you're correct in that they spend hundreds at the IPF. And I talked about this yesterday that. It becomes almost like a dorm in certain ways, in that the coaches want them there. So there's like, give them as many amenities as we can that make them want to stay here, because here we can keep an eye on them. Here we're not worried about what they're doing. They're over there. We know where they are. So that's a big thing. But at the same time, you do have to improve your stadium because those are the people you want to give money, and you have to make their experience good. State has not, and I think Zach Simon will tell you, the state over the last, going back to John Cohen, did not do a good job of controlling that,
No.
of making the experience, doing like easy stuff. They missed the ball on that a lot, and it looks like this LED lights is a, to me, is a great signal that they're moving forward in the right direction of taking care of the easy stuff that they can take care of.
And I think there are certain things that you can complain about this current administration. There are things that they could have done. They could have done things faster, but I think when Zach Selman first arrived here and he has kind of his, what I would call like his inner circle, like the people that are around
The
him
inner circle.
constantly, yes, they're around him constantly. They are the ones that, like, they're
Is
running
Terry
things
Prentice
for
like
you.
Jake Hager in that? He's
Sure.
the enforcer in that group.
Terry Prentice is definitely the guy that doesn't really say as much like when in our setting.
Yeah.
That's probably like
He moves behind the scenes.
one of the masterminds of the whole process.
Yeah, he's the godfather, yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, I think that that first year was like assessing and watching and looking at things that they needed to get done. And these first 2 years for Zach Selman, it's been a learning process. He's in this position for the first time ever. And he's taken some criticism, he's taken some blows, but you're starting to see things really start to come together for Mississippi State within this athletic department. And I think with everybody in this landscape, he's surveying things and figuring out what's important, what needs to get fixed, and how you measure the hierarchy of it all. And for me, I look at what they're doing right now, and I feel like they're kind of on the correct trajectory here. You raise money for the NIL funds to get ready for revenue share. I feel like they're in good position. They've raised more money than anybody in the last
Yeah.
several years at Mississippi State to be prepared to send it out to wherever they need to send it out or among their student athletes. So you have that in place. And the next thing was the master plan. He put together a plan long term of what he wants the facilities on campus to look like. And they went through the process. That's not just lip service. It's not doing something to appease fans. It's literally a plan in place to go down and check boxes on when they need to fix these facilities. And the first thing on that list, it is and has been for the last several years, is the IPF. And when we sat down and talked to him at that round table that day, he told us IPF is a priority right now. We understand the things that need to happen at the stadium. We understand that completely. IPF is the first major project we need to get done because they are, and it's been brought up several times, they are the last school in the entire SEC that does not have a football-only IPF. And back in like 2014, 2015, I would have told you, and I did tell people, you have the Palmera Center. There's really no reason to get an indoor practice facility. My opinion on that 10 years later has completely changed. I believe that football does need its own facility. We've seen many times where football is displaced because baseball is in that building. And that's what it was built for. I mean, just being honest, Rafael Palmeiro gave that money for the baseball team to have a nice hitting facility, and the football team could use it if needed. But it's not the football facility that that team needs.
It's not a good football facility.
No, it's not. It's a
It's
base.
just not.
It is an amazing baseball facility.
Right.
It is probably the best baseball facility in the country when you look at the weight room in there, plus the indoor facility, the hitting facility in there is the best. This football team deserves its own place, and that's what they're going to get. And on top of that, you're going to get new training room, new weight room, probably upgrade the weight room. You're going to get a lot of recreational stuff for the guys. And people have mentioned on the board, this isn't going to do anything for us as a program. I completely disagree about that. Look at the reaction from some of the players yesterday when they saw that announcement. This is the building, this is the place in Starkville that these players spend the most time. And you want to make it a place that they enjoy coming, that they have a place where they can get everything done. They have meeting rooms and they have a lounge area where they can take naps or they can play games or whatever. You have state-of-the-art facilities where they can train and get prepared for the season or get prepared for the NFL. It is absolutely necessary for Mississippi State to do this. And another thing is, I couldn't tell you. I don't know the Howard family. I wasn't sitting in on those conversations,
No.
but I imagine that was their, like we said, I imagine that was their request.
Yeah.
We want to give money to a facility.
Exactly.
And Selman probably said, this is the pressing matter here. Let's get it done.
Yeah, there you go.
And then when you come out after this finishes up, then you start focusing on the South End Zone project and fundraising for that, because I think that's necessary as well.
Yeah.
I think both are necessary, but I think that Mississippi State has to get this done first. You get better talent here, you get a better product on the field, you bring more people to the games, and then you start worrying about the stadium.
What's next? What's the next project? What do you think?
Well, that's what I think it is. I
The
think it would
stadium is
be the
next?
stadium. And I, maybe that's
Is
phases.
that a south end zone thing? Is that the east side needs some facelifting as well.
Yeah. Well, I would say probably that suites project that's going to be the press box. I would imagine that's probably what they address first is adding the suites on the west side and
And move us out.
doing whatever they have to do for us on the east, which I think that's the plan. And then probably start figuring out what to do with that south end zone project. But I don't think State's done with this. I think that they're I think the whole facelift thing is going to continue. I don't think they're going to completely go away from the facilities upgrade. I think teams are starting to figure out that they have to also continue to keep fans happy because they are the ones that are footing the bills. And it can't be all about the players at this point. I mean, you got to keep these fans happy and give them a good experience too.
Agreed. More to come, I'm sure, from Zach Selman in the coming days. Try to get him on as well to talk about that, either here or on Sports Talk Mississippi. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother, two of the best restaurants in town, right there next to each other in the Cotton District. What do you want to eat today? If you want to eat some great Southern soul food, head over to Two Brothers. If you want to have an outstanding, fancy sandwich, you go over to the Older Brother. Both meals will be outstanding. You can't go wrong with either one. Enjoy a great meal in the Cotton District right there. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pope Nut. 50.
I was having fun with our boy Bunky yesterday. He tweeted something about he's trying to do an AI picture and it wouldn't come out. And
It was not working.
I was just like, I sent him, I was like, verily, they walked through the desert for 50 years. 50.
50.
They were delivered. And then I said, know this, before the cock crows thrice tonight, you shall be in the circle of the uninvested. So yeah, I'm all about Pope Houston the first.
Talk about helping some people.
The church is the people heppin' business. They're the original people heppin'
Correct.
business. So, if you need a new copier, I don't know what that has to do with that. I don't know if you need a new copier, a new printer, need new computers, you need to call Advantage Business Systems. They'll get everything taken care of. But most importantly, they're going to offer you top-notch service after the sale. So you know that when something goes wrong, you're just calling the same people you made the sale with. You already have that relationship, and you got no problems with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192. Visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Next time you're going to be in Starkville, if that's this weekend, next weekend, whenever, you need to make a trip to Maroon & Co. to get your new gear. They've got the biggest and best selection in Starkville. A lot of places in Starkville selling MSU gear. No one has the inventory that they have at Maroon & Co. Everything you need, maroon and white, under one roof. And best of all, you could save a little money with our promo code. It's Thunder15. It's 15% off regular price. Some exclusions will apply. Before you go to Diddy Noble this weekend, before your next trip to Davis Wade Stadium, before you head back to the hump, make sure you're headed to Maroon & Co. It's the weekend, which means you're going to be out in your garden. You're going to be out, mowing the grass. You're going to be out cooking out. If you need anything to help you in those endeavors, you need to go see our friends at Scruggs Lawn and Farm Lawn and Garden. And if you're willing to make that big purchase to make sure you have the top lawn in town, the John Deere Drive Green Spring event is here. 0% financing on Gators and commercial mowers for up to 48 months. 0% financing up to 72 months. If you go buy a John Deere compact tractor right now, Robbie, lady will be six before there's any financing you have to do on that.
That's true.
6 years old. I'm just
Yes.
saying. I'm just putting it in perspective for you there. So
With
don't miss,
Maddie's age.
yeah, don't miss out. See your dealer for details. Offer valid through June 2nd. Visit Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden at 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo or shop online at scruggsfarm.com. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, they have what you need for this. Somebody got mad at me. I was issued a correction because I said the first time I did it, I said Saltillo, and it's Saltillo.
Saltillo.
Yeah, I did. I've been.
Saltillo.
Yeah, well, I didn't go that far. I wasn't told it was Tilla.
Saltillo.
Wow.
Well,
So,
that's how I say it.
our friend Alex sent me a text. She was just like,
Well, she's from up around that
she lives
area.
there. She lives near there. So she was just like, it's not. It's Sal like a salad, not Saul like
Did
salt.
she
I
say
was like,
Saltillo?
she said, say Saltillo. Yeah.
Well,
So
she speaks more proper than I
she's
do,
from the
too.
coast originally. So
Yeah.
yeah, she's got that French in her. So
Yeah, Saltilla is what I usually
there you go.
say.
All right. I talked earlier this week to Chase Parham. Covers Ole Miss baseball for RebelGrove.com. Has been doing it for a long, long time. I made a great joke about Ole Miss in this interview. You don't want to miss that. And on top of a bunch of other stuff, including him trying to take Thunder and Lightning under the MPW digital wing.
Oh, he's trying to
He
steal us.
tried to bring us into the fold. I was like, ah.
He knows that
That's
we
what I told him. I
relate.
was like, you got your own little podcast over there. You want a piece of the you want a piece of the big boys over here? Is that what you're saying?
He
So
knows that we equal ratings, and they're all
he
about
knows
ratings.
one
That
thing.
they're killing it over there.
He knows that this,
It's where the power
that's
lies.
where the power lies. Let's go down to my conversation with Chase Parham from RebelGrove.com. All right, let's get dive into this series a little bit more from the Ole Miss perspective with our friend Chase Parham, RebelGrove.com, MPW Digital. By the way, you guys, you want a piece of me? You got an MSU podcast? You want a piece of me?
I would, and this is true. I was going to say this at the end of the show. Hey, Dad, if you would like to join forces with MPW Digital, here is an open invitation. I mean, we've said for a long time that
Be
we
like Hulk
love what
Hogan
you
joining
guys
the
do,
NWO.
appreciate
What are we
you.
doing here?
Hey, I can't even fight you. I literally was going to go, hey, really enjoy the product. Love you and Robbie. Everything's great. But I mean, look, you're unavailable. You got a Super Talk mic right there in front of you. You're all
I'm all
branded.
branded up,
You're
yeah.
over there with Dick Cross doing whatever it is you guys
Well,
are
no, he's all
doing, and
politics now, buddy. I don't see him anymore. It's me and Borky. So he's over there talking to the governor about God knows what. I try to stay out of that.
but yes, no, my guys have done a good job, and we're just trying to get our little piece of the market at the corner, right, Dad?
I
That's
always
all we're
said
doing.
there's enough pie for everybody. I'm not
We're just
worried.
trying to get a piece of the pie. That's
There you
all
go.
we're doing.
All right, let's talk baseball here. This team was for Ole Miss was predicted. I think they were 15th in the SEC preseason,
They
and
were.
they have definitely overachieved to this point. But at the same time, I feel like they've left some meat on the bone. What's your just overarching take of what this Ole Miss team is?
Yeah, coming into the season, they weren't just ranked 15th. They were closer in votes to Missouri than Alabama.
Yeah.
They were actually closer to the show that is in Columbia right now. By the way, I heard you're very paranoid about the Bulldogs heading to
Dude,
Columbia with
please win
0-27. 27.
this weekend, Missouri. Please win. I
Just
can't
saying.
deal with it.
So here's the with Ole Miss is that it's very similar. I mean, Ole Miss and Mississippi State are just following each other around on how this works from a you win a title and then you suck a couple years and then you get a little better and then we'll see next year if Ole Miss is in a weird spot again. But I give Ole Miss a lot of credit for having a plan. And I thought the first couple years of the portal, they didn't have a plan. They just went and grabbed some good players. You go get Andrew Fisher, you go get Liam Dohl, you get guys who can play, but from a symmetry of the roster standpoint, it didn't look like you hoped it would look. And they suffered in that way. They went 6-24 in 2023, 11-19 in 2024. Pythagorean wise, both years were at 8 wins. The expected win percentage thing when they put all the stats in, they actually were
Brother,
the same both years.
it's a
So
lot
they
of
didn't
math.
really
A lot of
improve from a
math.
stats standpoint. Yeah, they were the worst defensive team in the conference last year, one of the worst in the country. They had to get better, and they had to get better in the clubhouse. They had some cancers from a portal pickup continuity standpoint in the clubhouse last year, and their goal was, let's go find older guys who have been just really good at college baseball. Let's forget the prospect thing a little bit. Let's put a group together that can play. They're going to play together, and they have played a bunch and have a bunch of experience, and they did a really good job with that. You look at what this team is, and they go get three outfielders out of the portal. All three have succeeded in different ways. They're all seniors, guys who've played so much college baseball. They fixed the defensive problem in that way. They went and got Luke Chang from Illinois State, a kid that nobody really liked coming out of the portal. Everybody said, oh, he's not going to hit, and he's been banged up. And instead, he's had a decent bat. He has fixed their problem at shortstop. He's an old guy who's played a ton of college baseball. They got really lucky with Austin Folly. They brought him in thinking he was going to be a second or third catcher out of Kentucky. He'd only played 10, 15 career games. He's hit more home runs than any other catcher in the Mike Bianco era to date. A kid that they did not expect to hit. He's played really well defensively. And then they've had some improvement from guys like Will Furniss and Luke Keele in year two and some guys like that. Hey, Dad, they're one of those teams that is better as a sum than their parts. They have issues. They are not perfect in any
The opposite of
capacity,
state, then.
but they just kind of do everything good enough. They're tough. They play nine innings. And when you look up and they're in a lot of baseball games. They've been a weird team because at the start of the year, and I know I'm rambling, this podcast, that's fine. At the start of the year, they were pretty good offensively and they didn't pitch. You thought, hey, this is going to be a problem. They're going to hit a little bit, but can they pitch enough? And Joel Mangrum has done an excellent job in year one as the pitching coach. Mike had never had a dedicated pitching coach as far as calling pitches, managing it independently of the rest of the staff, and handling the pitching from that area. And when you only have a few months in the offseason to get the program ready from a pitching standpoint, you're still tinkering as the year's going on, and you're seeing improvement as it builds. They lost two out of three to Oklahoma last week, but they only allowed 10 runs the entire weekend in the three games. They pitched it really well. Hunter Elliott is not 2022 Hunter Elliott. He's not a dynamic ace that's going to go give you seven innings every time, but they've just found ways to piece it and put it together and play okay. They hit bad pitching well enough to win games late in weekends against bad pitching, and they've pitched well enough to kind of stay in it against aces, even though they have not done very well on Friday night. I think they are 1-3 or 1-4 in their last four or five Fridays. They've really struggled against premium pitching with Witherspoon at Oklahoma, Liam Doyle at Tennessee, obviously. They lost the game against Kentucky where they only scored four on Friday night and lost in extra innings. They did hit J.D. Thompson of Vanderbilt pretty hard, but it has been an issue where they just do a little bit of everything, and they do everything well enough to be in it, but this is not a team that has that ceiling of going to win 20-21 SEC games. And I understand they've thrown some games away. They were one strike from beating Arkansas. They were one inning from beating Tennessee. They did leave them out there, but hey, it all sort of balances out. They also had, we were down in the ninth inning against Florida. They got one of those. They were losing to Missouri in like the sixth in one of the games. It is evened out where I have not felt like Ole Miss has given games away. They just simply haven't hit well enough to win some of those games.
All right, you hit on a couple of things. I wanted to go in a little deeper. You talked about, having some issues in the locker room last year. I think we all know Luke Hill was one of those issues a year ago. He has completely turned it around. He's leading hitter on the team. Today they announced he's the Ole Miss
Yeah.
finalist for the Ferris Trophy. What's been behind that turnaround?
Luke got, I don't want to say a bad rap because I do think he came in a weird spot. Came in, frankly, having to defend off his old program because when he left, Arizona State head coach Willie Bloomquist said, hey, we're better off with him gone, and called him out in a press conference and made things sort of public at that point. And he comes in, whether he was hacked or wasn't hacked, he talked about all kind of stuff on his social media that blew up, and it created a problem early in the season. But he settled in, he matured, and Luke Keele was the number one guy that held the program together when everything happened right after the season and the offseason happened. I think he made a choice that he was going to stay at Ole Miss and that he was going to clean up individually on how he responded to things, how he acted, and also be a leader. And for, I guess, state people are aware of what happened. I mean, not some of the background on it. And Andrew Fisher had re-upped with the Grove Collective. He was
Right.
staying for the next season. Liam Doyle was staying for the next season. Ole Miss thought they at least had that nucleus. And at the very last minute, right before the portal closed, both those guys get in the portal. They're going to Tennessee. Andrew Fisher talked Wes Mendez into getting into the portal, or a pitcher who even wasn't going to Tennessee with them, was just simply getting into the portal. Everybody's asked me, why would he do that? And I think it's one of those situations where the more people that do it, the less you individually look bad when you do it. I think it was some
Okay.
groupthink when it comes to that. And Luke Hill was the guy that held it together, that helped recruit, that helped put a roster together, that talked to a bunch of returners that, hey, this doesn't have to be another lost season. And he has been nothing but a pleasure to deal with this year. It's been one of the more remarkable turnarounds because, I mean, he pissed people off. Hey, Dad, even in the early part of last year with letting his blonde hair die back or go back to its natural brown color because, every Ole Miss shortstop dyes their hair
Blonde
blonde.
hair.
And
Yeah.
he had gotten off to a bad start last season and let it go back to brown. And he was catching social media and message board strays for just hair color there at one point. So he's been very valuable. He can play all over the infield. He's been able to help them through some injuries in some different spots. Luke Hill, really good college baseball player, and he's a success story compared to last season.
Only at Ole Miss would a man's hair color be an issue. Only at Ole Miss, Chase. Hunter Elliott. If the end of 2022, he was one of the best pitchers in the country. If that's 100% Hunter Elliott, what percent Hunter Elliott do we still have? Because I didn't think we'd ever see him pitch at Ole Miss again, I'll be honest. I thought with the injuries, he would just go pro and start getting paid, but he wanted to come back, and he's been a big piece of this team this year.
If you want to talk about results and what the stat line looks like, he's an 80% version of that. But it's not as complicated as you think. His off speed is incredible. Still A plus. Changeup's good. Changeup's elite, frankly. It's a Tanner Hall type changeup from a few years ago. It's excellent. It's a wiffle ball. The breaking balls are good. They're plus pitches. They're above average college and pro level breaking balls. He cannot locate the fastball. The fastball he keeps saying is wild, or he didn't use wild. He calls it lively, but he doesn't mean lively in a good way. He means lively as in it comes out of his hand and he doesn't know where the hell it's going. He's just in bad counts all the time. And it's a credit to him because Hunter Elliott is maybe the best pitcher I've ever covered in my 20 years of pitching with. I just dated myself. No, I got a point. Not period.
Okay.
With runners on base in trouble. He gets out of jams. No. Stop.
I was like,
we're
I'm
not doing
Drew
a Drew
Pomeranz. I'm going to call him up and be like, hey.
Yeah. No. I covered a pitcher in 2009, 2010 that finished one vote shy of unseating Bryce Harper for the Golden Spikes. No.
Okay.
But as far as getting out of trouble, as far as stranding runners, keeping composure on the bases, he's the best there is. Mm-hmm. And that has saved him this year because he walks a lot of guys. He hit four guys in one game against Kentucky. He's really struggled with counts. And it comes in multiple ways. It comes in just simply getting behind and walking people. And then it also comes in as he can't use his fastball as an out pitch because he doesn't locate it very well. So when he gets two strikes, he ends up prolonging the counts and just not getting rid of batters. It runs pitch counts up. I did think last week, even though he lost, Ole Miss didn't score. They got beat 2-0 by Oklahoma, and Witherspoon really shut them down. It was his best outing of the season. He extended his pitch count a little bit, but it's just a matter of the fastball. If you catch a day where the fastball's on, then he looks like Hunter Elliott from 2022. Might not go as deep. Pitch count might not get as high, but as far as just simply production, it's in there, but it's nowhere near as consistent. And it's all about how well he can get ahead of batters and then get batters out with that fastball to set up the changeup and the other pitches.
I think Ole Miss has to win these next two series if they want to host. I think they're on the precipice right now, but if they win the next two, they will be a host when they announce those 16 teams. Is that the general feeling there in Oxford as well? If they can get these next two series, they're probably in good shape?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that would be the way to do it. I guess I would say it a different way, but yeah, 17 conference wins, however you want to do that. I guess if there were a sweep of one of these two teams and a one out of three, that would also get it done. But I don't anticipate a sweep in either series. Yeah, because I think, you know, and we've both seen this. SEC teams have easily hosted at 16 wins in the past. That's happened. Ole Miss has done it multiple times.
Governor's Cup win, too. That is an SEC win for the committee. So that's really 18 wins at that point.
But it's another loss, too. They got beat 10-0 by Texas at Globe Life. So they're splitting those two games. And what I've seen, and maybe you disagree, is I feel like the Governor's Cup hurts you if you lose it, but it doesn't help you much if you win it. I feel like it's always an excuse when you lose it to go, kind of just held them out. They had one more loss. They did it last year.
They won it in the post,
Yeah, I think that's what happens. But, no, metrically, for a couple different reasons. One is – are they going to do the national give a bunch of hosts all around the country thing? Or are they just going to do like basketball and give all the SEC teams the host? Because I've got it up right here. And the top five teams in the country are all SEC teams as far as RPI. Texas, Georgia, Auburn, Arkansas, Vanderbilt. So let's assume they're going to host.
Yeah.
LSU is going to host. That's eight. That's number eight. That's six. I think Tennessee is going to host. That's seven hosts.
And iffy for them.
It's iffy. But as of right now, they're okay. Also, I think they're going to get benefit by not playing Missouri. I'm wondering if teams are going to get penalized in a tiebreaker if they had Missouri on the schedule versus a team that didn't. But let's say there's one more host spot. That would require Ole Miss to kind of make sure it's them and not Oklahoma or Alabama if we're going to play that game out. Oklahoma's sitting at 21 in the RPI right now, 13-11. Ole Miss 13-11 at 16 in the RPI right now, and then Alabama at 12. So Alabama's in good shape. They're at 12 in the RPI, 13 and 11 there. So, yes, I think given those different structures, I don't think 16's enough. I think for 16 to be enough, you're talking about or an RPI of 12, 13, somewhere in there. And I don't think metrically Ole Miss can get there. I think for Ole Miss, the path is 17 and 13 in the SEC and an RPI that's sitting around 13, 14 at that point. And look, postseason baseball would be huge. Ole Miss has not been at home since 2021. It is the goal, but I'm also trying hard not to completely move the goalpost. Ole Miss had to get back into the freaking tournament, and they are going to get back into the tournament. So we're talking about the syrup or the gravy here, but at the same time, Ole Miss's goal is simply to be one of those 64 teams that are playing when Memorial Day gets here.
All right, you know, you and I both know that history is more for fans than anything else, but you know this series has been dominated by Mississippi State. Even last year, when Ole Miss was able to get the three games in Oxford, State won in the Governor's Cup, and then they win the walk off. In the SEC tournament to win 3-2 in the season series. Does that weigh on Ole Miss, specifically, I guess, Bianca, because he's the only consistent through all the years. Does that weigh on them at all?
It weighs on fans plenty. My message board would say that it, yes, it weighs on people greatly. Look, players, no. I mean, it's so many transfers and portal guys and whatever. I mean, Isaac Humphrey is from Louisville and has no freaking idea what this is going to look like over the course of the weekend, other than maybe videos. I do think Mike has a tendency in some series or some situations to get a little tight. I don't think it changes what he says to his team. I don't think it's altering anything. I don't think it's going to be some major issue, but he's aware. Mike is more aware than I think he acts like sometimes. He knows where they have struggled. Frankly, just about state period. It doesn't matter if the game's played in Oxford or Starkville or on the moon. They just haven't won it. After that streak of, I think, what, Ole Miss won the series in Starkville every year from 04 to 14 and then has not won one since then, if I'm correct in saying that. It's a tough environment. And I think what's frustrating for Ole Miss fans, and maybe I'll catch message board flack on this tomorrow and they'll say I'm completely wrong, but
it won't be tomorrow. When they go play, Friday pod, so you're safe.
There you go. All right. When they go play in Starkville, the crowd has had a tendency to rattle them at times, had a tendency to get to them. There is a pressure for the opponent. When Ole Miss plays at home sometimes, the pressure is on them to live up to the crowd.
Yeah.
So they've not been able to do the same thing in either place. And I do feel like, you know, there's some emotional element there, and I think there's some pressing. Wayne State has not been very good at times, and Ole Miss comes in and should be winning the series and getting those games. And then some of it's just baseball because, look, State's been really good for a lot of the last decade. They've been good teams at home in front of big crowds. I mean, Ole Miss has played State multiple times on Super Bulldog weekend over the course of the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And really the only game that Ole Miss would point to that's been overly successful was when Doug Nikhazy just shoved it up their tail that one day. So that's, otherwise, it's been a bit of a struggle, and I think it's all those things. I think they have not been able to feed off their home crowd, and then they've been bitten a little bit by the road crowd in the same way, and just a lot of – look, fans hate it, but there is just some element of that's baseball.
I think it's going to be big crowds this weekend too, especially if State gets the Friday game, that Saturday game. I would expect close to 14,000, if not more.
Did it completely re-energize everybody? What happened?
So, yeah. I
know it's your podcast, but I got questions too.
That's fine. I think that's exactly correct. When they lost that the Florida series, I mean, I was just like, all right, they're going to get Auburn will beat them. Ole Miss will beat them. Missouri, you know, what's funny about Missouri is Missouri's kind of had State's number the past few years. They lost 2 out of 3 to them the year they won the national title. And then they lost the next year. They went to Missouri after beating Ole Miss. And you think, okay, they took 2 out of 3 from Ole Miss. They're going to turn the season around and get to the postseason. They lost 2 out of 3 to Missouri there. They lost to Missouri last year in a game that probably kept them from hosting, to be totally honest. So Missouri's kind of they had Lamonis's number a little bit. But yes, you're right. There was a complete rejuvenation because you had a lot of State fans who were just sort of torn. They were like, I don't want to cheer for State to lose, but I don't want Chris Lamonis to be the head coach anymore. And so what do I do? And now it's just like, I can just cheer for Mississippi State. The crowds last weekend were great.
Okay. One comment, one question, and then I'll let you get back to it. One comment is that I will go on record and admit here, because I'm on a Mississippi State podcast, that I have predicted that Missouri is going to win a baseball game next weekend against Mississippi State.
I can feel it in my bones, Chase.
I am doing that partly because and Missouri's the team I punch more than anybody in the conference on podcasts outside of A&M and Tennessee. I can't stand them, but I punch Missouri just because they shouldn't be in the league anyway. They should be in the Big Ten. They don't fit in, and they get on my nerves.
Yeah.
But I feel badly for them. I would like for them to win a game. I would like for them to just win one. Well, I turned it over there on Sunday when they were tied with Georgia 2-2 in the ninth inning, and I said, maybe this is it. 5 seconds later, Georgia hit a two-run home run, and I turned it back off, and I went
with
it.
They have A&M this weekend. Maybe they can get one from them.
Maybe so. Maybe they'll get one against A&M, and that'll be it, and they'll go 1-29, and State will get its all three of it. Because here's what's funny. State fires Lemonis. They're going to make the tournament unless they get swept by Ole Miss. They're going to get in at 14-16. They're going to be a three seed.
If they sweep Missouri. But even then, Chase, State's resume is not good. They need two wins this weekend. They really do.
You think they need to get to 15?
I think 14 would be enough, but it would be really tight. Those Missouri wins are not quality wins. They're quad threes. And State only has, I think, with beating Kentucky, they only have like 10 total quad one, quad
they're
two.
They're 5-16 against quad one, 4-2 against quad two.
Nine,
and then
yeah.
they went.
There are a lot of what we would call group of six teams or mid majors that have 12, 13, 14 wins in those groupings. So State's.
And State right now has a worse RPI than Ole Miss had when they snuck in 22, thanks to John Cohen.
That guy.
So
you're welcome.
I'm just saying.
So, all right. We will see. Will you be in Starkville?
One day. I'm doing the middle day. Mother's Saturday. Day, I'm not doing, and then Friday night with the whole – like me and my parents used to live in Amory, so I'd leave there and come back and just stay there and go back. But now.
All right. Well, we'll see you Saturday at Diddy Noble. Chase Parham.
Sounds great.
Grove.com, MPW Digital. Tried to snake me out from Super Talk right here on this on this very podcast. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, bud.
All right. Thanks to Chase for his time. Appreciate him. See him this weekend at Diddy Noble.
Were he and Neil the first two to really get like podcasting going around here?
So VSporto.
I'm trying to remember like when
was
they
a
started,
little
when they,
like because their podcast was on Rebel Sports Radio for a time. So my guess is Ben would talk of champions. Well, Ben and Stephen Godfrey might have been ahead of them when they had the flagship.
I thought they might have been before.
They might have been, though. But
there's definitely been.
They've been the most
longest sustaining, most
for
successful
sure. For sure. Yeah,
because even this one was like B&B and then Thunder Lightning. Well, theirs has kind of been
them this whole time. So.
And they're create. I mean, you got to give them a lot of credit. They've created like a whole network.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I give them all the credit in the world. All right. Sunday, we're either going to come back here and do this show and be in a great mood or a bad one. We'll see which one it is.
That's like every day.
I feel like we got the width between our emotions will be much greater on this
one. Probably.
Yeah. State loses a series to Florida. I could just be like, eh.
Yeah.
This one is it's a little different, as you all know. But we'll talk about that.
Especially if they somehow like miraculously get a sweep here and you win that bet with Richard,
let's just calm down. Let's not even talk about it out loud. Don't even whisper it. Keep it in the back of your mind. Just keep it like a little pot full of gravy, just
simmering.
Just simmer on the back stove there. Maybe next week Vin Allen Lubin will commit too. I don't know. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know.
I need him to do this for some of these people on our message board.
Yeah.
Because the message board.
That thread is getting a little antsy in there.
I don't even know why it's happening like this, but it's just like people just calling each other idiots and all kind of things.
They've been listening
it's
to
like,
us.
Why?
They've seen the Discord we've had this week.
There was actually like a positive post in there yesterday about, hey, it looks like State is trending well with Van Allen Lubin, and I'm catching up and I'm going down, and then I scroll to the bottom and
it
there's
turned
five pages that I've missed. I'm like, okay,
did he commit?
It's never good when you see that many pages.
No,
because if it's good news, it's not as big of a
it's
reaction.
Like a page, yeah.
And it turned into like this slap fight, and I have no idea where that began. I didn't go through all of it.
I just
went to the back.
I don't know. All right, we'll talk about it next week.
Life of a message board.
All right. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk. This is it. We'll be right back.
Supertalk Mississippi Media Production.